Shalom Aleichem, Kinderlach. Yud Beis Tammuz, good Yontev for Yud Beis Tammuz, Yud Gimel Tammuz. I want to share with you a story about the Rebbe. I read the story in a sefer called Eile Toldos Peretz. It's the life story of a great chassid. His name was Reb Peretz Motchkin. And I knew him, I saw him. He was a chassid that came... was a chassid of the Rebbe Rashab and the previous Rebbe and the Rebbe. And then at the end of his life, when he came over to the United States or to Canada, he lived in Montreal. His best friend, one of his closest friends, was another famous chassid who happened to be my mashpia when I studied in Brunois, Reb Nissen Nemenov. I'm sure some of you have heard his name. They were very close friends, and they wrote many letters to each other. And in that book, in that sefer that I mentioned, the letters which Reb Peretz wrote to Reb Nissen, Reb Nissen wrote back to him, and there is a story that is an amazing story that Reb Peretz tells Reb Nissen about what happened to him. Reb Peretz tells a story like this. This is written in 1955, Tovshin Tezvov. Reb Peretz writes from Montreal to France, to Brunois, to Reb Nissen, what just happened to him. His son, he has a son, Label Motchkin, and Label Motchkin was married to his wife. Her name is Rivka. And Rivka became, she had a baby. Then she was expecting a second baby. And while she was expecting, she suddenly developed terrible pains in her stomach. Terrible pains. They went to doctors, and the doctors did some tests, and they found that there were some stones inside the gall. It's like one of the things inside the body with there was some collection of things that weren't supposed to be there, and it's causing a very, very big pain. And they said, we need to do a surgery right away. She started becoming, losing weight and becoming like looking sick. And it was very, very, very dangerous. People didn't know what to do. The doctors tried very hard to save her. She had the best doctors they could find. But the only way to save her is by doing a surgery. The doctors, though, said that she may not survive the surgery. The surgery is very, very hard surgery. It's like takes many, many hours, and she may lose a lot of blood. If she survives the surgery, because she's young, she's strong, she might survive, you know, all the loss of blood, but they can't be sure. At that time, all of the Lubavitcher, the Hasidic Chabad from Montreal went to the hospital. And they said, tell him all night, right before the surgery, to make sure that the surgery should be successful. This was on Tes Shvat, the day before Yud Shvat, when the surgery was supposed to happen. It was decided that, of course, Label, the husband of Rivka, cannot go to the Rebbe for Yud Shvat, for Montreal, because he needs to be next to his wife. He needs to take care of her. But the father, Reb Peretz, the old Hasid, right, the father of Label, he will go to for Yud Shvat to the Rebbe. And he will try during the Verbrengen to talk to the Rebbe and ask the Rebbe for a special bracha. Reb Peretz did make it to Crown Heights and ended up Yud Shvat by the Verbrengen in 770. And as he's sitting in the middle of the Verbrengen, a message came to one of the other people from Montreal that came also to the Verbrengen. They had a whole bus of people that came to the Verbrengen. A whole car. And so there was somebody, Rabbi Hendel. Rav Hendel was the Rav of the community of Chabad in Montreal. He was at the Verbrengen. He got a message somehow from someone, an urgent message that the situation with Rivka, the wife of Label, is very serious. She just went through surgery yesterday, the day before on Tes Shvat. Today is Yud Shvat, and she developed a terrible situation where her life is now in danger because her her liver. Liver is a very important part of the body. Liver is what filters the blood. If the liver doesn't work, the person is going to die. Her liver stopped working. And now she's in very serious danger that she will die. And then he got another message saying that it's only a few hours before her neshama is going to leave the body. She's going to die soon. Reb Hendel found a way, it's in the middle of the Verbrengen, and Reb Peretz is sitting behind the Rebbe. So Reb Hendel, between the sichas, when the Rebbe wasn't speaking, they were singing songs, he managed to get over to Reb Peretz and told him that the situation is very, very serious, and they only gave her a few hours to live. And he says to Reb Peretz, "Why are you quiet? Do something about it. Go to the Rebbe." And when Reb Peretz heard this, he was shaken, and he went over, got up from his seat, walked over to the Rebbe, and told the Rebbe the situation, that the doctors say that she's in a very, very serious situation, and that she's going to die in a few hours. He says the Rebbe didn't answer right away. He took a piece of cake from the table and put it in his own mouth and ate it. Now, the Rebbe always had lekach mezoinus on the table by Verbrengen. In the beginning of Verbrengen, the Rebbe would drink a little wine, say l'chaim, have first a piece of mezoinus, and then l'chaim. As Reb Peretz, between the sichas, came over and talked to the Rebbe took a piece of mezoinus, put it in his mouth and chewed on it for a while, and thought, and didn't say anything. And then he turned to Reb Peretz after a few minutes and said to him, "Here, you say l'chaim." He gave him from his cup some wine. He says, "You say l'chaim, and she will be well." The Rebbe gave a promise, "Sie wird sein gesund." She will be healthy again. And then he took a piece of cake from his plate and gave it to Reb Peretz and said to Reb Peretz, "You take this piece of cake, and when you get back to Montreal, you give it to her. Right? Like this will be a healing for her. A refuah." And Reb Peretz is thinking, what? In his head, he says, he writes in the letter, "I'm thinking in my head, what is the Rebbe saying? I should take this back to Montreal and give it to her? The doctor said she only has a few hours to live. It takes to get to Montreal 8 hours. So how am I exactly going to give her this piece of cake if she only is going to live for a few hours?" And as I'm thinking that, immediately the Rebbe turns to me again and says to me, "Why is it her fault that you don't believe me?" The Rebbe knew in his head what the parents were thinking immediately. And right away told them, "It's not her fault that you don't believe me, because the bracha of a tzaddik, you have to believe, also have a munah." But Reb Peretz was like questioning, how is it possible that I'm going to bring her the cake and drive back to Montreal, which takes at least 8 hours, and the Verbrengen is not even over yet. By the time I'm going to get into the car to go to Montreal, it will be another few hours. And the doctor says she only has 2-3 hours to live. And the Rebbe immediately picked up his thought, Baruch HaKadosh, of course. And the Rebbe said to him, no, it's not her fault that you don't believe me. That means she will live and she will be okay." And Reb Peretz was like shocked that the Rebbe was able to read his thoughts. And he went back to Montreal and they did the operation for the liver to work. It was successful. She lived many years. Maybe she's still alive, I don't know. But she had many kids. She had several kids after that. And Reb Peretz explained a very interesting thing. Why is it that the Rebbe took a piece of cake first in his mouth and started chewing? And the moment he heard the news from Reb Peretz that his son's wife is in very, very serious danger, and the doctor says she's going to die, the first thing the Rebbe did is take a piece of cake and put it in his own mouth and chewing on it and eating it. And then he turned to Reb Peretz and say, "She'll live, and she'll say l'chaim, here's a piece of cake." Why did the Rebbe have to eat a piece of cake first? And he says, it says in Svarim that the eating of a tzaddik brings down brachas el hashpoas. That tzaddik doesn't just eat because he feels like it and it's fun and it's a geschmack and his tummy feels good and his, it tastes good. No, a tzaddik doesn't eat for these things because a tzaddik doesn't have a desire for such things. But when a tzaddik eats, it's to serve Hashem. The eating of a tzaddik is also serving Hashem. For us, we think when we daven, we serve Hashem. For a tzaddik, when he davens, he serves Hashem. But when he eats food, he's also serving Hashem. And when he serves Hashem through eating, he brings down brachas and nisim for people that need help. Reb Nissen gets this letter from Reb Peretz, and he says to him, I thank you for sharing this incredible story with me, which shows the great nisim that Hashem did with you and with your son and with your son's wife. And it reveals the great powers that the Rebbe has. That the Rebbe has godly powers from Hashem to perform miracles. And this is what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that Hashem wanted to reveal that he is there in the world by having the tzaddikim perform miracles. And that's the Rebbe. And the Reb Nissen says, I was extremely excited when I heard the story. And I think he should publicize it because it's a mitzvah to publicize a story like this so people would see that Hashem makes miracles through tzaddikim today too. And we all know, Kinderlech, that even after Gimel Tammuz, the Rebbe continues to perform nisim. I can tell you nisim that I personally saw with my own eyes, incredible, after Gimel Tammuz. So don't think for a moment that this was only before Gimel Tammuz. One day I will tell you more stories and you will see how the Rebbe is continuously giving us nisim, brachas. We just need to be in touch with him, learn his Torah and follow his miftsayim and his mitzvahs, his instructions. And Hashem will help us all to see nisim gluyim in everything. A good Yantiv and a Freilich and Yud Beis Tammuz.